You may be seated. Last weekend, we heard from Paul about the pastoral ministry and how it was established through direct and indirect calls by God. God called these men in particular times and places to be His mouthpieces. Paul and those men, including the one before you, are therefore concerned with what God thinks and approves, rather than what society thinks and approves. At the same time, it is not those men who are the focus. Whether it is Paul or Apollos or Cephas or Bruce or Josh or even Luther, did any of those men die for your sins? No. Only your Savior, your Lord Jesus Christ, took your sins to the cross of Calvary and paid for them. He is the one this religion is about. All manly vessels God uses are but jars of clay. Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." And a few verses earlier he wrote, "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." The church of God is the only place where we find the word of God and the sacraments taught and administered properly, and even lived. Yet this is all God's doing. The men who are called to be preachers of the gospel are themselves sinful human beings who have been set apart by God to perform this task. This does not mean that they no longer sin or make mistakes. They do, which only demonstrates all the more the surpassing power of God's word and His forgiveness in Christ Jesus our Lord. He absolves sins of both lay people and pastors alike. That's what Paul wrote to those in Corinth. So let's take a few minutes now and see how what he wrote to those in Corinth applies to what he wrote to those in Galatia from our epistle text this morning. Paul begins this section of his letter to those in Galatia saying, "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." Last weekend, our focus was on the men of the ministry and whether they were seeking man's approval or God's approval. This week, we focus on the fact that the gospel that these men preach and teach is not one that was made up by another human being. The apostles saw what Jesus did. They heard what he said. They didn't have to receive it from some other human being. They were there. They saw it themselves. But Paul's story is slightly different. We don't seem to see in Scripture that he was there for Jesus' activities in his life. He did not even believe in Jesus until Christ met him on the road to Damascus. You may already know this, just as those in Galatia may have already known it. And yet Paul reminds them of his account of being called. Paul brings it to their minds because the rumors had already begun spreading. Isn't this the Paul who had been Saul, who had been killing our brothers and sisters in the faith? How do we know that what he is telling us is the truth? How do we know that what he is telling us is what the apostles teach and preach? How do we know that this isn't some sort of trap, that he is still trying to trap us and kill us? So Paul reminds them of his account of being called as a minister of God, of being set apart. "I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. So let me ask you then, brothers and sisters in Christ, have you heard the rumors concerning Paul? Have you heard the rumors that what he wrote was not necessarily God's word? That God's word only contains God's word, but is not wholly his word? Have you heard the rumor that Paul is nothing but a zealot, and so we don't have to listen to what he says? Do not go after these misleading ideas. All of Scripture is God's word, inspired by the Holy Spirit, as he gave the writers the inspiration to write the things that we needed to hear. This is what you have confirmed and confessed. If you've begun to give ear to these ideas or these rumors, repent. Repent and then know that all of God's word is God's word for you. Today, the ministry is carried on by those who have not received a direct call like Paul, but through an indirect call. That is, they were called through God's church. It is carried on by jars of clay, just as Paul himself was a jar of clay, who are merely the messengers of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because these jars of clay are no longer directly called, but indirectly, there are those times and places, unfortunately, where pastors are found out to be wolves in sheep's clothing. But a couple of reminders on this topic. Firstly, the sacrament that is administered by these men was truly the sacrament. The power and efficacy of the sacrament does not rely on the word of the messenger, but on the word of God. And so no matter whether it was by a true pastor or a wolf in sheep's clothing, the sacrament does its job. It gives to you the forgiveness of sins. Secondly, the only way to know if what a pastor teaches is properly God's word is to be in the church hearing on a regular basis. As we heard last week, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. But take note that it is only when a pastor teaches or preaches contrary to what you have been taught that he is indeed a wolf. There are many things in the confessions and indeed in the Word of God that aren't always easy to hear. Sometimes they are hard to hear or hard for us to live by. The only way to know which is to be in the church of God and to be in the Word and the confessions. If it is not the case that your pastor is teaching or preaching in a way that is contrary to that gospel, then you should not persecute the church of God. Look at again how Paul refers to what he was doing. He said he does not write how I persecuted Jesus, but how I persecuted the church of God. See how much he loves the church of God now that he has come to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He says that he was persecuting her in his actions. And Jesus didn't hate the church either. No matter what those may say on YouTube or those who claim to believe in Jesus but hate the church, Jesus loved the church. He grew up in it. He was found as a young child teaching and listening to the elders of the church. And later on, he was revealing to them what was said in Isaiah. He said, "Today this account has been fulfilled in your hearing." And he said that on the Sabbath in the temple. He didn't hate the church. He loved the church. He gave himself up for her and died for her. Yes, the church is full of jars of clay and of sinners. But that is how God intends it to be until he comes again to restore all of creation. In the meantime, consider Paul one more time. "Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, 'He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy.' And they glorified God because of me. If God can and has taken one so bent on destroying the church and brought him into faith so that he loves her, How much more can he do so at any point in time that he so desires? Through the sacrifice of Jesus' life and death on the cross of Calvary, God no longer looked on Saul's sins, but saw a sinner in need of forgiveness. This is how God views each of us and each of you, as a sinner in need of forgiveness, in need of a Savior. Therefore, God sent his Son into this world to pay for your sins. He sent him to the cross of Calvary to make the payment for all of those sins that you have committed. Whether it was persecuting the church, whether it was going along with society instead of God's word, whether it was listening to those rumors, whether wittingly or unwittingly, aware or unaware, or any other sin that you may have done, or any other good that you have left undone, they have been paid for in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God forgave Paul, too. And what is more, he gave him the mission to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles of his time. But Paul did not complete that mission perfectly. He wrote in Romans how he did not do the things he wanted, but far too often did those things he did not want to do. And so it is with pastors called by God today. We proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen for you. There will be times, however, if there have not already been, where I will let you down. I'm another jar of clay like you. But thanks be to God and our Lord, Jesus Christ, who gives forgiveness to the laity as well as to the pastors that he has sent. Jesus Christ has opened the door for all sinners, laity and pastors alike, to receive forgiveness of sins in his Son, Jesus Christ. In the former times, the messengers of the gospel were the prophets, with whom God walked and talked. Today, we hear his word only in the church of God, where his word is properly taught and preached, and where the sacraments are properly administered according to his will. The pastor is only the jar of clay messenger, a saint and a sinner, just like any of you. The focus is on the gospel, which is not on one that has been handed down from men, but came from the firsthand witness of the apostles and from the revelation of Paul concerning Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who offers the forgiveness of sins. In Jesus' name, amen.